walk away free, nail it to the cross. Kneel at the tree and walk away free, nail it to the cross.
Welcome to the Effectual Workings of God, blog and podcast that seek to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Thanks so much for joining us again. It's been a little while since we've been back. It seems like these have been taking longer and longer to get across, but hopefully we'll be able to get back in the swing of things here. I spent the last week, or last Friday, Saturday, Sunday, at a great time in Lighthouse Baptist Church in Anderson, Indiana, for their revival services. So that was a great time. Got to spend a lot of great time. Good preaching, good fellowship, and so it's always a great thing to get out to revivals and to just get a lot more preaching into you than what you normally would have throughout the week. And it's such a great time. But I just want to go over something today, something that I've been studying out for a while, something that needs to be understood for every Christian. Is something that definitely needs to be understood, and that's what I try to get across for things in my blog and podcast, is things that are absolutely imperative for us as Christians to get. Things that have to be gotten, things that have to be learned and grasped fully, and so that you'd be well-grounded in the faith. Paul told the Corinthian church that he would love to have taught them more, but they can't because they were carnal. He wanted to feed them with meat, but they could not bear it. And so in order to move on and to get fed with meat, you have to learn the milk. You have to learn the basic doctrines of what happened to you and just all the things. And so today I want to talk about justification. It's a big word. All those shun words in the Bible, justification, redemption, sanctification, all those. I'm going to try to go over some of those in the upcoming podcast. And so today I want to start with justification. And so grab your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. And to Job chapter 25. So grab your Bible, get ready to take some notes, to look at a lot of Bible verses, and we'll see what we can find out here about what the Bible says about justification, the Bible definition for it, and all the aspects that surround justification. And so in your Bible, we're going to keep Romans 3 with one finger, but we're going to go to Job chapter 25. And now before we start there, it will help you to know of the basic setup of how the book of Romans is laid out. The book of Romans is laid out pretty simply. In chapters 1 and 2 in the book of Romans, it is laid out to show that man is inherently sinful. We apostatize, we're backbiters, fornicators, wickedness, covetousness, that man is inherently sinful in chapter 1. And then in chapter 2, it goes into the judgment of God, that God is going to judge every person, and he's going to be right for it. God is going to judge it. God is going to judge us. Because we're inherently sinful, God is going to judge us. Because we know, because we do those things knowingly, we're going to be judged. And so then it leads right into Romans chapter 3, which gets into justification. Justification. Really, the most important question that men nowadays will ask is, how do we be happy? How do we be wealthy? How do we get a lot of things? Or how do we do this? And that is not the most important question that you should ask in your life. Probably the very first most important question that you should ask in your life is in Job chapter 25, verse 4, and which is what Romans 3 talks about as well. They're very parallel. So in Job chapter 25, verse 4, and if you haven't read through the book of Romans, reading through the book of Romans, chapter 1 and 2, you're going to realize how sinful you are and that you're going to stand in judgment of God. And so if you know those things and you understand that, you should be asking the question that's in Job chapter 25, verse 4. And in Job chapter 25, verse 4, it says that, how then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? But that first part of the verse, how then can man be justified with God? When you learn how sinful our nature really is, the amount that we could go to, we see that serial killers and rapists and all these people that commit just wicked acts, sodomites, just wicked acts. And you think, well, no, I'll never do that. That is in each of us. That is ingrained in the fleshly nature. If we wholly give ourselves over to the flesh, that is what it brings forth. It brings forth wickedness, sodomy, murder, rebellion, witchcraft. All those things are works of the flesh, and they're in each and every one of us. So then, once you get that, you realize that you're going to stand before a holy God, and you say, how can you be justified then? How can I be justified? How can I be clean before God? And we're going to get into how you can do that. But that is what the question that you should ask. I know I went through the salvation message before on my podcast. I'm going to do it again right now. How are you going to stand before God, a holy, righteous God? How are you going to declare yourself righteous enough to get into heaven? How are you going to be able to declare yourself justified of everything that you've done before a holy God? And so we'll get into that. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will not be justified. You will be unjust. And you will go to where all unjust people go that have not the Savior, and that's hell. So we got to go back to the basics and learn that so we can learn heavier doctrines like Paul told the Corinthians. And so pretty much everybody that's been saved knows of salvation. They know what salvation is. They know how to be saved. But what about the underlying actions that come of that? What we call salvation actually has a lot of other aspects behind it that you really don't understand. Happen. They still happen to you at the moment of salvation, but you really don't understand those things until you get in the Bible and learn that there are so many things that happened in the moment of a twinkling of an eye when you got saved. In that split second when you decided to have faith, God gave you the faith to believe in Jesus Christ. There are so many things that happened during that time. And if you don't learn those things, you will not gain an appreciation for what happened to you at salvation. And so what is justification? What is it? We're going to look at what the Bible says about justification and really what that means. What that means and how it happens in your life. And so before we get into justification, we need to look at who needs to be justified. Well, in Romans chapter 3, verse 8, and says, well, we'll start in verse 7. For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved, both Jew and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. The difference between the Jew, the Gentile, the Muslim, whoever it may be, the Christian, the Episcopalian, the Mormon, the Jehovah's Witness, it doesn't matter, all need to be justified because all are under sin. All are under sin. If you keep reading from verse 9 in Romans chapter 3, all the way down to verse 18, it talks about what this world is all about. It's all about. Their mouth is full of cursing. If you want to see how wicked men have gotten, is just go out and listen to them talk. Every other word is a four-letter curse word. And bitterness. There's more bitterness in this world, I'd say, than joy. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. there is no fear of God before their eyes. If that doesn't sum up the world today, I don't know what does. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And you know why? That is the reason that this world, this community, this town, city, nation, world is crumbling, is because they have no fear of God. And the book of Proverbs in the Bible says that the fear of the Lord bringeth knowledge. When you fear God, you want to stay right and you want to live right and you want to learn the book. If you don't fear God, then you don't account to anybody. So we see that in verse 9 and 10 of Romans chapter 3, that all of us are under sin. In chapter 2, verse 11, it says that it's the same. It says, For there is no respect of persons with God. Now, in the whole chapter of Romans chapter 2, it talks about judgment, God's judgment. And so right there in the middle of that, it's saying, for there is no respect of persons with God. It doesn't matter if they're Jew, Gentile, Muslim, Christian, Episcopalian, Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, Catholic, it doesn't matter. There's no respect of persons with God. You will be judged. In verse 12 it says, for many have sinned without the law, shall also perish without the law, and as many have sinned in the law, shall be judged by the law. There's no difference between one person or another in this world in respect to the judgment of God. All are guilty, all are under sin. And so in Romans chapter 3, verse 19, it says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. All the world is guilty when they stand before God. And you know how we know this? Is by the law. Verse 20 of Romans chapter 3, therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. God gave the law back in the Old Testament. God gave the Ten Commandments. He gave those laws, the whole Jewish law, all the laws that he has given. He has given to show man that he is guilty, to show man that he is not worthy of salvation, to show man that he is sinful. That's what the law proves. The law cannot justify anybody. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, it says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You are guilty. You're under sin. You know that because you have a law that you have violated. And the law shows you that you're a sinner. Compared to the law of God, compared to the law that God has set forth, all have sinned. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Back up one verse, in verse 22, it says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile, between different religions, different people, different races. There's no difference. Everyone is under sin. All the world is guilty. You know that by the law. And when you compare yourself to the law, you come short. Everyone, in comparison to the law of God, to Jesus Christ, has come short and is guilty of sin. Therefore, all men need to be justified. All men need to have their sins taken care of. And so let's look at some things that define what justification is. What is justification? And so there's seven things that kind of define what justification is in the Bible. I call it the sevenfold aspect of being justified. And the one, Romans chapter 4, verse 7. It says, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. The first step of justification is being forgiven of all your sins. Past, present, and future. Being forgiven for all of your sins. As long as you seek that forgiveness and repent, God will always forgive you of those sins. Those sins will not send you to hell anymore once you have placed your trust in Jesus Christ and have been justified. In Romans chapter 5, verse 9, we have the second one. Romans chapter 5, verse 9, it says, Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. We shall be saved through the wrath. If you are saved and if you are justified, at the moment of salvation, you are justified. Along with justification comes being saved from the wrath to come. If you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, you are saved from the wrath to come. And the way I look at it, that is in two different parts. One, you are saved from the tribulation. You are saved from entering and having to take part in the tribulation. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, it says, to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. You are safe from the wrath to come in that you do not have to enter in the time of Jacob's trouble, the tribulation. You are saved from the wrath to come in that you are not put in the full presence of God's wrath in hell. That is a benefit of justification. That is what justification means. Not only are your sins forgiven you, but then you do not get what you deserve. You do not get what you deserve. In John chapter 3, verse 36, it says, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him forever. So, first off, you are forgiven of your sins, and then you are saved from the wrath to come. All because you've been justified in Jesus Christ. In chapter 4, verse 9 of Romans chapter 4, verse 9, we have our third aspect of being justified is that you are reckoned righteous. In Romans chapter 4, verse 9, it says, come this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Once you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are forgiven of your sins, and then you obtain the righteousness of Jesus Christ. There's no other way for you to get into heaven with your own righteousness. The only way for us to get into heaven is through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That is the only way that we are able to get into heaven. And it's through grace, through faith, without any works. The righteousness of Jesus Christ. Once you are saved, Jesus Christ takes His righteousness and puts it on you. What an amazing thought. That not only are you forgiven of your sins, that in itself is enough, but just being forgiven of sins is not enough. God has to go and dump His righteousness on you so that you're declared righteous, that you are just as righteous as Jesus Christ when you stand before God someday. Now, you still have to pay for the acts of what you did as far as your service for God. But in the terms of salvation, you are deemed righteous before God. Now, since you've taken care of those sins, since you've been deemed righteous before God, you're safe through the wrath to come, you get peace with God. You get peace with God. The reason this world has no peace, the reason people don't have peace and joy within their heart, is because they do not have the peace that God has. They do not have the peace of God, nor do they have peace with God. And there's no rest for the wicked. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You have peace with God. You are no longer just at war with God. You are no longer under the wrath of God. You don't have to take the wrath to come in the future. You don't have to worry about being killed for your sins, being sent to hell for your sins. You have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So therefore, you get to have peace with God. You get to have fellowship with God. And not only that, in chapter 5, verse 2, it says, "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Not only are you saved as far as your salvation, your sins are gone, you have the righteousness, but now you can rejoice in the hope that one day you will be with God in heaven. One day you will see Jesus Christ face to face. One day you will have a new body. You can rejoice in that. And quite frankly, people don't rejoice in that anymore. That's the problem with a lot of our churches, is that we no longer look for that blessed hope. We no longer look for that blessed hope. In Romans chapter 5, verse 5, and it says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Once you are saved, you are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You're given the Holy Ghost, and you possess the love of God. The love of God is shed abroad in your hearts. What better notion than to be loved by the person that created you, instead of hated because of your sin? That's an amazing thought. That you not only you get peace with God, you get to rejoice in the hope that one day you're going to be with Him. You possess the love of God. And then in chapter 5, verse 10, it says, "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." Because Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid sin's penalty, then you can be reconciled to God. And then you get to live with Him, because Jesus Christ lives now. Without justification in your Christian life, without justification, you are under condemnation. You are under damnation. You are under the wrath of God, because you have no justification. What an amazing thought. Justification is so huge, and you get such an appreciation for what happened in your Christian life when you were saved, because you've been justified. So, everybody needs to be justified. Everybody needs to be justified. We saw that. We know what justification is now. Justification is the act of being declared just or right. It is God declaring you that justification, that you are justified, that you are no longer under the condemnation of sin. You have God's righteousness. And so since we've seen those things, let's look at who does God justify. And now, almost all the time, the world gets everything opposite to what God says. The world gets everything opposite. Now, if you were to go out on the street corner, take a poll, and you would say, who would be justified, or probably a better question that would register with people's minds would be, who gets into heaven? Because that's what it really comes down to. If you're not justified, you're not getting in heaven. If you are justified, you are. If you're not justified, you're going to hell. That's really what it goes down to. Who can be justified? Who does God justify? And if you ask most people, they're going to say the person that does enough good works. And that's not right. That is not right. That is not who God justifies. So, let's look at this. In Romans chapter 4, verse 5. Most people would say that if you work hard enough, you get to be justified. In verse 5 of Romans chapter 4, it says, "But to him that worketh not good works, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, for his faith is counted for righteousness." In Romans chapter 5, verse 6, it says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." God justifies ungodly sinners. Jesus Christ, when He came to this earth, He sat and ate with the publicans and the sinners. And the scribes and the self-righteous Pharisees condemned Him for it, for sitting with publicans and sinners. And his answer to them was, "They that behold need not a physician." God did not come to save a righteous man. God came to save someone that is unrighteous, who needs a savior. It says in the Gospels that He has not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. In order to be justified, a man has to humble himself and admit he's a sinner, admit he needs a savior. And that's the hardest part most times, is that people don't want to admit there's a sinner. The devil's got people so twisted up nowadays, either one, they're good enough they think they can get into heaven, or two, they're so bad they don't think they can get in. When neither of those are the case. And so this causes a problem, per se. How can God justify the ungodly? If that's who God justifies, ungodly sinners, how can He do that? How can He justify the ungodly? Well, how can God justify the guilty? Well, what is guilty? Guilty means that you have committed a crime or a sin and you deserve the punishment for that. You deserve a punishment for your actions. That's what guilty means. Well, Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Somebody took our punishment. Romans chapter 4, verse 25 says, "Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." Jesus Christ died for our offenses. He died for our sin, and He was raised again for justification. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ pays for your sin. In Romans chapter 3, verse 25, it says, "Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remissions of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God." God put Jesus Christ, His only Son, forward as a propitiation to pay for the debt of sin. In order to be justified, in order for a man to be justified, to be deemed not guilty, the debt that sin created must be paid. The reason that men die is because they sin. For the wages of sin is death. For the wages of sin is death. So in order for you and I to be justified, somebody's got to die. Either you're going to die and pay for it yourself, or you take Jesus Christ's death as a substitution. So not only has God was delivered for our offenses, in Romans chapter 5, verse 11, it says, "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." God provided the sacrifice to atone for our sins. Man's guilt, when you stand before God, you are going to be deemed guilty. But if you are saved, the guilt has already been paid for by Jesus Christ. Man's guilt is forgiven because of Jesus Christ, because of His sacrifice, because of what He's done. So, God can be righteous and holy in justifying us because Jesus Christ paid for it. God just can't justify someone and just let it go. There must be a punishment for the sin. If that was the case, God could just let everybody in. But God can't, in His balance of being just and holy, with His balance of being merciful and loving, He can't just justify everybody. So He has to place them in Jesus Christ so that they can be forgiven of their sins and justified. That's what He has to do. And that's how we get justified, is because Jesus Christ lived a sinless life, died a sacrifice, died for the atonement for our sins, and was when he rose again, he was raised again for our justification. So now that we understand justification, that's what justification is. That's what justification is in a nutshell. Now that we understand justification, you know, we can ask, how can a man be justified? How does a man get justified? I mean that's what we need to be. In order to enter heaven, in order to stand before God and be deemed righteous, we have to be justified. So how can it be? In the Bible, there's only two options that a man is justified. One of them doesn't work. Is it works or is it faith? In Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Romans chapter 3, verse 20, it says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, works, working, keeping the law, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. You cannot do enough good works. You cannot follow the law enough to be justified. You can't do it. The law was given, the commands of God were given to prove that you are guilty. That's what they're for. And why not? Why can't you be justified? Because if you are justified of works, then you know what? You can glory before God. You have glory. In Romans chapter 4, verse 2, it says, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. You would have the ability to say, well, it was my works. I did it. It was all me. And that's not it at all. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 5, it says, but all their works they do for to be seen of men, to make broad their phylacteries and to enlarge the borders of their garments. Talking about the Pharisees and the scribes. They do their works to be seen of men. And why? Because you do not want to men who try to justify their way, try to be do works to be justified, is because they do not want to submit to God's righteousness. In Romans chapter 10, verse 3, it says, for they being ignorant of God's devices, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Man's heart is set to do evil. Man's heart is set to be against God. So they want to set up their own rules, their own ways to be justified, and so that they don't have to be humble before anybody. That's the heart of man. Man is not justified by works. Man is not justified by works. And so, in what way does God justify a man? In chapter 3, verse 22 of Romans, all of this is within the few chapters. Pretty much all of it is within the chapters of Romans 2, 3, 4, and 5. I mean, this is the heart of justification, is those books in those chapters in Romans. In Romans chapter 3, verse 22, it says, even the righteousness of God, which is the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. The righteousness of God. And how does God justify a man? And in Romans chapter 4, verse 24, These show us how a man is justified. Romans chapter 4, verse 24, But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. To impute, or to reckon, or to count as righteousness, those words show up 10 times here in these chapters. And it means that God puts that into you. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, it says, who his own self bear our sins 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, whose own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. That is how God changes, that is how God justifies our lives, is through imputation, per se, to use a big word. God takes our sin, the charges that are leveled against us, and he imputes them to Jesus Christ when he was on Calvary. All of sin was imputed to Jesus Christ on Calvary. And then, at the moment of salvation, God imputes righteousness to you. God takes the righteousness of Jesus Christ, exchanges it with your filthy righteousness, and swaps them around at the moment of salvation. That's how God justifies a man. And you know how a man is justified? He is justified by faith. And if this is something that I don't understand, how so many, even Baptists, Episcopalians, Lutherans, Catholics, Mormons, Jehovah's, I don't care who it is, I don't understand how they can read through their Bible, read through the book of Romans, and still say that a man can be justified by doing works. A man is saved by keeping the law, a man is kept saved by keeping the law, a man is saved by... You can't read through the book of Romans and come out with that conclusion and have any sense at all. Romans chapter 3, verse 26. Romans chapter 3, verse 26. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be the just, he might be just, and the justifier of him which believe in Jesus. Jesus justifies you when you believe in him. And he's just in doing it because the debt for sin has been paid on Calvary. That's not unclear. Let's read the next verse, Romans chapter 3, verse 27. Where is boasting then? Is it excluded? By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. A man is justified by faith in Jesus Christ. This is probably one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Because anybody who can, that would show me how to be saved by keeping the law, they have to clearly just ignore this verse. Romans chapter 3, verse 28. Romans chapter 3, verse 28 says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. You can't get much more clear than that. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's always by faith, by faith, by faith. Romans chapter 4, verse 3, it says, for what saith the Scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Verse 4, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for him for righteousness. We believe God takes our sin, deposits it on Calvary, which he did, takes our sin from us, puts it onto Jesus Christ. God takes the righteousness of Jesus Christ, puts it on us when we believe by faith. It is not the deeds of the law. It is not repent and be baptized. It is not do this many good works, keep your hair a certain length for guys and women, not wear this. It's has nothing to do with wearing skirts or tithing as much or street preaching or whatever else it may be. Belief in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection according to the Scriptures, having faith in him is what makes a man justified. Romans chapter 3, verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Let's look at a few more, just in case people don't get it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It is not by works of righteousness which we have done. Having faith in Jesus Christ is what justifies us. When you believe in Jesus Christ, at the moment of your salvation, when you had faith in Jesus Christ and you were saved, God reckoned you righteous. He took your sins from you. He gave you the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He justified you before God. Gave you peace, saved you from the wrath to come, forgave your sins. What more can you ask of them? And if you don't know this, it's okay. But learn it. Study it. The way that you develop a great appreciation for what God has done for you is to know what God has done for you. If you don't know what God has done for you at the moment of salvation, you can't really thank Him or appreciate it for. If all you know is you got saved, I mean, that's good. You got to be thankful for that. But learn about what goes into justification, redemption, adoption. There are so many things that God does for us at the moment of salvation, and it will make you be so much more thankful for what He's done. You got to learn these basic things. When you know the basics, the rest is a lot more fun and it comes a lot easier. So I encourage you, as I always encourage you, study your Bible, read your Bible, spend time in the Word of God. Without it, you're lost. Know your doctrines. Learn what God has done for you. David Walker puts out a great book. He has two small books called Basic Bible Doctrines. And it goes over basic Bible doctrines of eternal security, of justification, of just basic truths that all of us need to just be completely and utterly just wrapped our heads around. Because if you know salvation, justification, redemption, adoption, eternal security, if you know those basic doctrines, when some cult or some false religion comes and tries to tell you otherwise, you're going to know that they're wrong. Why? Because you'll have knowledge of the Bible about those things. So thank you so much for listening today. I hope that you've learned something. I hope that it gives you a deeper appreciation for what God has done for you. And I hope most of all that you will get to know the Savior. If you don't already know Jesus Christ, it is the most important thing that you will decide in your life, is what will you do with Jesus Christ? If you know Him, if you are saved, and you don't know everything about what happens in your salvation, I encourage you to take the next weeks, months, year, and try to find in the Bible everything that has happened to you at the moment of salvation. And you'll be amazed at what God did. So, thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you have a great week. I hope to have another podcast up soon. But God bless. And remember, study, study, study to show thyself approved unto God.